Good morning and welcome to Mornings with Ken. I am so glad you guys stopped by. Hey, you know the routine. Go get that cup of coffee, that virtual donut. Pull up a chair, kick off your shoes. Stay a while, because I'm really glad you're here. Hey, please indulge me. I recorded a podcast for today, but it failed to save. So I wasted my whole time with a podcast, and it didn't save, and I cannot find the file. So instead, I have a special program for you, going down memory lane with Mornings with Ken from my childhood days, an old sermon from my childhood church way back in the day. So this is a very old sermon, so I hope you enjoy it. So take a trip with me down Kenny's memory lane.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence upon your word and upon the message of the hour. For it is not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And let the Holy Spirit now be present to edify the believer, build up the Christian in most holy faith. I pray you'll comfort the brokenhearted and save the one that is lost. Grant that miracles shall take place now that are eternal, because your Spirit alone can do the eternal. We'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Isaiah the prophet was speaking here in his day to the dissatisfied people, to the people that were not happy, to the people that were not content. And this same message is for you and for me in our generation, to the people who are not satisfied, who are not content, who are not what God made them to be, with balanced lives, mental, physical, and spiritual. And man is three parts. And to be what man ought to be, he must be a balanced person, to use his mental ability to help understand things and learn more. We ought to train our minds, but we ought to also take care of this physical body, for it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But also we have a third dimension called the soul, and only God can satisfy the hunger of the soul. And no man is content and happy and satisfied until he has a balanced life. And so the prophet of the Lord saw the men and women and boys and girls who had left God out of their life, and they was trying in every direction to be satisfied and content. When Jesus was here, he talked about a young man that wasn't satisfied. We call him the prodigal son. And that boy said to his dad, "Dad, I don't want to be a farmer. I don't want to stay here at home. I don't want to be here under your care and under your guidance. I ask you to give me my portion of my inheritance. I'm not satisfied and content at home, and I'm going into the city." And not many days hence, his father gave him his inheritance and said, "It's not my desire or will." And he traveled into that foreign country. And the Bible said that he spent all that he had upon harlots, with his friends, with revelry, with drunkenness, and finally one day his money was all gone. And a great famine came to the land, and he found himself in want. And being a Jewish boy, swine were unclean, but the only job he could find was feeding hogs or swine. And he got him a job, and he said he was so hungry that he would have filled his belly with the husk that he's feeding the hogs. Now the hogs were content. They liked the food in the pig pen. They liked the filth of the pig pen and the lot and wallowing in the mire, but that didn't satisfy the boy. And he said, "I'm not satisfied, I'm not content." And it was that lack of satisfaction that caused him to say, "I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I want to come home. And you know the story, the father welcomed him home. But everybody that's not satisfied is not people that has spent all they had with harlots or living in some pig pen. For we find Jesus also related in Mark chapter 10 about a young man who was very wealthy. He was a go-getter. He had money. He had lands. He had crops. He had everything that a heart could wish for physically and mentally, but he had nothing spiritually. And he came into the presence of Jesus and he said, "Master, what must I do?" And he said, "Keep the commandments." Now this was a good boy, a nice young man, for the Bible said, he said, "I've kept these commandments from my youth up. Honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal," and all of these various commandments. "I've kept those, Lord." But he had one thing between him and God, and that was his money making. And Jesus finally said to him, "You're not content, you're not happy. Sell what you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you'll have a joy on the inside." And he would not give up the thing that was between him and his God, and the Bible said he went away sad. You say, "But I'm a religious person." Well, I want to say to you that everybody that goes to church is not content and happy. It reminds me of a man that's real sick, and the doctor prescribes him some medicine. And every friend that comes in, he's laying up on the bed about to die, and everybody that comes in, he says, "Look at that bottle of medicine. Isn't that a beautiful bottle? Isn't that a beautiful color of medicine? The doctor prescribed that for me." And he tells everybody about it. And the doctor comes back and said, "How you feel?" "Oh, I'm about dead, doc." Said, "Well, did you take your medicine?" "No, but I want to tell you something. I told everybody that came in here about that medicine, that you prescribed it for me, that it's in the bottle." And that man could lay there and die because he didn't take the top out of that bottle and take that medicine the doctor had offered him. And there are a lot of people that are religious as a dog full of fleas and have never been born again. And Nicodemus was one of those religious men. He fasted 2 days out of every week. He paid alms. He was a man that sought after a religion and went in the ritual and had the form and wore the robes. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not making light of that. Thank God for that. But if your religion's only on your back and in your head and not in your heart, I'll say to you what Jesus said to Nicodemus, this religious man. He said, "What must I do?" And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have a spiritual work on the inside, that old things pass away and behold, all things become new." And so you may be a good person, but and a religious person, but you are not content. You are not satisfied. And I would say to you, as Isaiah said, "Woe unto you. And wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" Why not put something into your life that'll give you some satisfaction and some joy? And then there are other people that they lie, they steal, they drink, they gamble, they love the nightclub life, they love the things of the world, or the fashions, or the form, or the clubs, and they try every way to be happy, and they wake up with a headache. They wake up the next morning and they're not content and not satisfied. And you see their home come apart. You see their children go the wrong way. And you see a family that's broken. And you see a life that's broken. And you see a man that ought to be happy, but he's not happy because he's seeking after things rather than after God. It's kind of sad to see people like that. But I have an answer for you. Put God first in your life, and you'll find a peace and joy and contentment the world cannot give. And I might also add, the world cannot take away. In Jesus' day, Jesus went down through Samaria, and a woman came to Jacob's well, and she was drawing water in the heat of the day because she was a prostitute and a despised woman in that community. She had been married 5 times. Now she's living with a man that's not her husband. And Jesus walked up to Jacob's well, and he was thirsty. And he said, "Give me a drink of water." He said, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, and we have nothing to do with each other. And you say that my bucket's unclean. The rope that I draw with's unclean. You will not use it. And you don't have a bucket or a rope, and you ask for me." He said, "If you knew who talked to you, you'd ask of him living water and you'd never thirst again." She said, "When the Messiah comes, then we will have that." He said, "I'm he." Said, "Go call your husband." Said, "Lord, I don't have any." He said, "That's right. You've had 5, but the man you live with now is not your husband." She said, "You must be a prophet." She believed and got that living water, ran up the hillside and told the whole city, "Hey, You know, that would be a funny person. A woman who was a prostitute in a town met Jesus Christ and went out and told the whole city to come hear Jesus preach. You know, most people in our day would look and say, if he knows her, I don't want anything to do with him. But when Jesus meets a person, they are changed and new and different. And if there's anything that Rex Humbard believes in, that you can have a born-again experience and be placed in the family of God if you'll only come to Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave the satisfying portion to that woman. The Bible teaches that people are satisfied and content. The Bible teaches that Jesus is able to supply the need in the New Testament. But look at the Old Testament, how God satisfied and met Moses and the children of Israel and opened the sea and took them through and led them out of Egypt's bondage. How Elijah, God's prophet, was fed by the ravens down on the brook called Cherith. And how Jesus healed the sick and opened blind eyes and unstopped deaf ears and made the lame to walk. But I could stand here today and tell you of people all over Australia that have written us and said, my life's different since I prayed that prayer. How people have knelt down in front of a television set and they said, Lord, we believe you are Lord. Jesus, you died for me. Forgive my sins. And they've had a brand new life because they've accepted Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God came into their soul and into that third dimension. And I can show you people in every direction that have found an answer. And if you do not know the Lord and have not balanced your life in that third dimension of the spiritual, then I want to say to you, you're like a fish out of water, or you're like a man in water. You were not created to be a temple of sin, of doubt, of fear, but you were created to be the temple of God. For God's Spirit to dwell within and have the power of the Holy Spirit living within, that you might live a godly life and have companionship with God, fellowship with God, not only in life, but when we come to the end of the journey, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We don't even have to worry when we come to the end of the journey. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and we'll have a home in heaven when the journey's over, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus went to prepare a place for us, and he's coming back. Today I have not only come here that our family might sing to you, that I might speak to you, but also I believe in the power of prayer, and I want to pray for you that God will give you that satisfying portion. Let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're his child. And heaven is your home. Let every head be bowed and every eye closed, please. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'd like to ask you a personal question. No one can answer this but you. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, how many in this room can truthfully say, Rex Humbard, if my heart would quit beating this very moment, I'd slump over in my seat and go out into eternity to meet God. There's not a doubt. Not a fear, not a sin, not a habit. There's nothing between me and my God, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm ready to meet the Lord. Don't lift your hand unless you're sure, but how many can truthfully say, my heart would quit beating now. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm ready. How many know that? May I see your hand? Thank you. You may take them down. I want to pray a special prayer now for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl here in the Sydney Opera House who could not lift your hand then. But you'll say, Rex, as you pray this prayer, pray for me. I want to be sure. I could not lift my hand then, but I believe in prayer and I'd like to be able to be sure. And I want you to pray this special prayer for me. Every person that'd like to be included in this special prayer, as I pray now, lift up your right hand to Jesus way up high. Everyone with your hand lifted, just stand right there at your seat with your head bowed. Stand up in the name of the Lord. Just remain standing with your head bowed. We're going to talk to God now. Now while our heads are bowed here in the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia, those of you that are listening by radio or by television, in a moment I'm going to pray with these here. I want to pray with you too. You're not satisfied. You're not content. You're not sure you're ready to meet God. Then I want you to pray this prayer with us. as we pray here. So prepare your heart. You get ready. In a moment, we're going to pray. Now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want every person that's standing, I want you to pray a prayer together with me right out loud. Fear that someone might not pray, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want those of you beyond these walls, wherever you are, to pray with me also. Right now, everyone all together, pray with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Right out loud, everyone, say, Dear Lord Jesus. Forgive all my sins. Cleanse my heart from all unrighteousness. I receive Jesus Christ as my only Savior and my only hope of a home in heaven. Take first place and help me to live for you. Now give me your spirit. Give me your power to live for you. And when death claims me, let me live with you in heaven. This I ask in Jesus' name. How many in this room believe God answers prayer? May I see your hand? Then Holy Spirit, come now and bear witness with our spirit. Take away every doubt and every fear. And let every man and woman and boy and girl in this great auditorium know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's well with their soul, that they have a home in heaven if death were to claim them right now. And for those beyond here, we would pray that the Spirit of God would touch them also. In Jesus' precious name. We love you, Lord. In this quiet moment, let's stand and let's just be reverent for a moment, just as we are. And let's make him our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Just tell him to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Every